It's election season here in Chicago.
As a prosecutor, I took on the Catholic Church.
Chicago's number one for corporate expansion. She even got 5,000 new Google jobs.
As state's attorney, I'll prosecute violent crime.
The Democrat who will put crime and your safety first.
That means TV ads, endorsements. And in a city where politics ain't beanbag, that also means some good old political hijinks. Like campaign signs disappearing in the dead of night under the cover of darkness. It's a time-honored tradition. A Chicago Sun-Times headline in 2007 read, "Stealing signs, business as usual in 50th Ward, and the thieving still happens today." Curious City listener Ingrid Wassmer wondered, who's behind these shenanigans?
There's a history of signs being stolen out of yards in alderperson elections in the 50th Ward, sometimes at night. I'm curious who's doing this and why has the practice never been reprimanded?
For Ingrid and her family, who live in the 50th Ward, this question is personal. More than a decade ago, they were engaged in what the Wassmer family fondly refers to as the Sign Wars. It was a period of fierce combat. Intelligence was gathered, plans were laid, and ultimately, a trap was set to try to catch the thief. Who was doing this? What were their motivations?
Is there a big conspiracy?
I'm reporter Tessa Weinberg. Coming up on Curious City, we'll follow this whodunit tale and delve into the history of Chicago's machine politics, where a party boss ruled and committeemen were loyal foot soldiers. Ask any alderperson at Chicago City Hall about sign stealing, and it's almost a quaint topic. And they've all been victims of it, too. Here's 26th Ward alderperson Jesse Fuentes at City Hall.
Oh, absolutely. All over the place. We've had precincts across the 26th Ward where there were signs put up and completely wiped out overnight, right? A lot of it has to do with wanting to remove names, right, so that there's not a building of name recognition. And it's also a way to get people to spend more money.
It can be a headache to deal with. But getting a few signs stolen isn't the end of the world, says alderperson Maria Haddon. She represents the 49th Ward.
It feels like a spoiled sport kind of thing, right? It's annoying, but it's really small potatoes in the scope of most things you're concerned with in a campaign. There's always more signs. And it's very important to remember, right? Signs don't vote.
Even though sign stealing is a perennial campaign tactic, for the most part, no one's getting punished for stealing them. And candidates just give their supporters more signs. But for our question asker, Ingrid, her family couldn't take the theft lying down. So they decided to take matters into their own hands. I'm walking down Lund Avenue in the West Ridge neighborhood to meet the Wassmer family. It's a chilly Saturday morning, and the street is lined with single-family homes. I get to the Wassmer's bungalow, where the scene of our crime takes place. Our question asker, Ingrid, joined me at her parents' house, where Dan Wassmer and Ann Brecky have lived for more than two decades. The street can get busy. Their house is on a bus route. And there's no parking allowed on their side of the road, which makes any yard signs extra visible.
We're kind of sitting on prime sign territory.
That's Dan, Ingrid's dad. I'm sitting around their dining room table as they recount the alleged theft that took place back in 2007. It was when the late Bernie Stone, alderman of the ward for 38 years, was being challenged by newcomer Nazy Dolar, along with two other opponents. Dolar ended up going against Stone head-to-head. It was the first time Stone had ever been forced into a runoff election since the nonpartisan municipal election system was put in place in 1999, according to the Chicago Board of Elections. Stone's three-decade hold on the seat was at risk, and dirty campaign tactics ended up being deployed to win voters over. At the time, Dan and Ann say they felt trapped in that game.
I'd call the alderman's office and say, I need new garbage cans, because I knew I'd get garbage cans during the election time. But I mean, it was really like tit for tat, like, okay, we'll do this for you. It's election time and we'll clean the streets. We'll plow the snow. We'll trim the trees. Like, that would only happen during the election time.
Stone had been in office since 1973, and it was the expected way of doing business in the neighborhood.
It just seemed like that's the way things were. That was the Chicago way, the rhythm of politics and things in Chicago.
They were ready to back someone new, so they put a Dolar sign in their front yard.
One day we walked out front and the sign was gone, and we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, all the signs, all the Nancy Dolar signs were gone.
But all the Bernie Stone signs were still there. Missing yard signs is par for the course in Chicago, especially the 50th Ward. But the Wassmers weren't deterred.
And so then we put them up again, thinking it was a one-time thing. And then those also disappeared. And we're like, oh, well, okay, you know, this means war.
Of course you realize this means war.
They kept putting signs out and wised up by putting one in their enclosed porch at the time. It's one thing if a sign gets stolen from the public way. But to Dan, it's another story if someone keeps coming onto your property to take it. He became obsessed with trying to catch the culprit. Dan began to devise a plan and went through a few ideas.
Sitting by the window or out in the bushes with a flashlight to pounce on them. You know, I didn't.
Smearing it with dog poo. That was like one idea.
Oh, yeah, that was an idea.
But they decided that might be a little too aggressive. Ingrid remembers her dad descending into the basement where he tinkered with the perfect trap. The plan was simple. Attach fishing line to a decoy campaign sign. On the other end of the string, tie empty aluminum cans together.
I happen to have some nylon fishing line around. Why, I don't know. I don't fish.
Dan placed the sign in the yard, laid out the fishing line, and tucked the aluminum cans under the bushes on the side of the front door. The darkness at night helped camouflage the fishing line. And the idea was, the trap would only be sprung if the thieves made the first move. It didn't take long before they heard something in the middle of the night.
I think it was like 2:30 or something, and I was sleeping, and then the noise was kind of entering my dreams, and then I came out of it and realized, I thought it was like somebody's car, like clinking on the street, and then I realized, oh, those are the cans. Glink, 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 like the cans rattling. And then I heard something, whoa! And then I heard a car speeding up.
So, after all that planning and scheming, Dan didn't even wake up, and Anne went back to sleep. It wasn't until the next morning that their empty yard confirmed what they heard in the night. The thief got away with everything. The sign, the fishing line, and the cans. The Wassmers never did find out who did it, but they fantasized about finding the thief one day by a stroke of luck. Maybe a neighbor who has a garage full of old campaign yard signs. They had their suspicions, though, about who it could be.
I thought it was like dirty politics. It was just kind of low. I kind of imagined that it was the precinct captain doing his routine, you know? So we never had Bernie Stone or anybody from his office knock on our door and ask for support, but we had our signs taken.
That was 17 years ago. But this type of election hijinks goes back even further than that. It's a product of machine politics.
Sign stealing has been going on as long as signs have been printed, so over 100 years in Chicago politics.
We'll explore that next, and we'll hear from the candidate whose campaign signs were the ones that kept getting stolen from the Wassmers' yard. Stealing yard signs seems like such a petty thing. It's something Dick Simpson is very familiar with. He's a former alderman who represented the 44th Ward for two terms in the 1970s. He's now a professor emeritus at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And he's an expert on Chicago politics. He says sign stealing was very common during the rough and tumble era of Chicago machine politics.
Machine politics in general is when a political party controls the government and therefore give out jobs, favors to individuals and contracts, crooked contracts, to businesses, and that gets them the resources they need to win the election.
Simpson says the political machine got its start with a rather unsavory character after the Great Chicago Fire in 1871. A gambler and saloon keeper named Michael McDonald saw the common interest between saloon and brothel owners and the city's politicians. He's credited as the city's first political boss.
So it was the saloon keepers, the bars, the brothels would pay off the politicians, and the politicians would tell the police not to raid these fine business establishments.
Saloons became so synonymous with politics that in the late 19th century, some of the most prominent aldermen were saloon owners. Machine politics grew from there, with multiple political machines once existing. It reached its height under former Mayor Richard J. Daley, who ruled over a Democratic operation fueled by patronage politics. That's when someone is compensated, often with a job, in exchange for their political allegiance. Precinct captains and ward committeemen were a party's foot soldiers, tasked with shoring up voter support.
In other words, people got their jobs not because they did a good job for the government or they were highly qualified lawyers or PhDs. They got their job because they delivered the vote in their precinct.
It was the ward committeeman's job to ensure the party's hand-picked candidates were successful.
Even if the party's candidates are Attila the Hun or someone terrible, it doesn't matter what the character of the candidates are or their program, it's the job of the party to make sure they get elected.
Which meant they would go to extreme lengths. And Simpson says the 50th Ward was very representative of this setup. Case in point, two of Alderman Bernie Stone's political workers, one of whom was a precinct captain and ward superintendent for Stone, were charged with voter fraud for tampering with absentee ballots. They're both later sentenced to nearly a year in jail for their attempts to steal democracy, as the judge put it. The election those workers were meddling in? The 2007 aldermanic race between Stone and Nasi Dolar. The same one that the Wassmer's campaign signs kept getting stolen during. It might seem extreme to risk jail time for a re-election bid, but Simpson says for patronage workers, their livelihoods were on the line.
So precinct captains depended on their jobs for curing their precinct, and they would do everything in their power to do that. They would offer favors to voters, they would intimidate some other voters, and they would steal signs. They would threaten people if they didn't vote that they wouldn't get city services. In the projects, frequently they would threaten that they would be thrown out of CHA projects if they didn't support the machine.
And if they didn't deliver, or if an opposing candidate won, they would lose their jobs. At its peak, there are as many as 35,000 patronage jobs throughout city government, Simpson says. A lawsuit challenging the patronage system resulted in federal oversight. Since then, the role of the ward committeeman has been on the decline, along with the pervasiveness of patronage politics. Often, aldermen also run to be their ward committeemen. That's to help ensure the party doesn't mount an opponent to challenge them. But these days, some aldermen say the job isn't worth it, in part because it doesn't have as much clout as it used to. And campaign signs aren't necessarily the main way candidates get their message out either. Social media, email blasts, and digital ads now give politicians more avenues to directly reach voters and tailor their message. But for Nasi Dolar, Stone's challenger back in 2007, a stolen campaign sign was symbolic of much more. When, at 34, Dolar decided to mount her campaign, Stone had been in office for her entire life. She says residents showing off her campaign signs in their yards sent a statement that the neighborhood was ready for change.
It was exciting. People who hadn't been a part of anything was able to actually take a stand and put a sign. And I remember our sign said, "Expect more." So not only it was asking to vote, but it was also asking the community to like expect more from our representation.
Dolar forced Stone into a runoff election where they went head to head and things got heated. Back in 2007, WBEZ asked Stone if his campaign pressured residents to support him.
If I've helped you and I've asked you to put my sign up. You think it's wrong for me to ask you to put my sign up? And I've helped you? I don't think that's wrong.
When pressed about whether he's asked people to take down his opponent's signs, he seemed unbothered.
Well, it's tough. I don't know if it's happening, but if it is, I don't see anything wrong with it.
The Wassmers and Dolar would beg to differ. Yard signs were stolen every day, but Dolar took that as a sign, pun intended, of her campaign's growing support.
That means that we're doing something right. That means that we're demonstrating support to a point in which the opposition is slightly concerned, afraid, doesn't want the other person's name to get out.
And there were even more dirty tricks. Dolar remembers her husband's parked car mysteriously getting moved
to a place that was an illegal spot that then we got a ticket. And it was almost comedic at the time because we were just trying to figure out what's next. And Ward Streets and Sanitation superintendent went as far as asking residents while using his position to complete absentee voter ballots.
Dolar never knew for certain who was behind some of those antics, although she had her suspicions. She says they felt like a test meant to tear her down and see if she would complain. It was a close race, but Stone ultimately beat her by little over 700 votes. He would continue to serve as alderman for another 4 years until Deborah Silverstein, the ward's current alderwoman, defeated him. Years after the election, two of Stone's political workers were sentenced for the absentee ballot fraud they committed. Dolar got some satisfaction from that, but she still felt robbed.
For me personally, I'd say I would never run for office again because it really was a painful experience after the fact.
Attacks during the campaign grew personal. She lost time with her family. She since moved away from Chicago. When she thinks back to that time, she remembers the supporters who stood by her and put up signs again and again and again.
It became this wonderful sort of like, don't you do this to me and our people. We are not going to be intimidated.
It's a memory that's lived on for the Wassmer family, too. The story of the sign wars is a running joke in their family. Campaign signs even hang on their garage's walls as mementos of historic elections they lived through. But there is one thing that's still on Dan's mind all these years later.
The only thing I regret not doing was tying a little sign on it with some sort of message to them, like, you a-hole or something, or don't look now, but... So that's my only regret.
That's your only regret?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Not in life, but with regards to the sign wars.
It may be against the law to steal campaign signs, but it's a tactic that's likely not going away anytime soon. After all, this is Chicago. For more stories about hidden gems in and around Chicago, check us out at wbez.org/Curious City. Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and part of the NPR network. The show is produced by Jason Mark and Joe Dassault. Maggie Civet is our digital and engagement producer, and Susie Ahn is our editor. I'm Tessa Weinberg. Thanks for listening.